Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Anne Crane, here with Ryan Dobson.
And our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Last time, Lou Anne, we were joined by our favorite pediatrician, Dr. Meg Meeker, and I'm excited to say she's back with us again today.
Yeah, as you can tell, all of us here have such high regard for Dr. Meeker. For you parents who are just desperate for help as you try to raise your children while you navigate all these cultural and medical landmines, I'm sure you are finding that her words of advice are just like that icy cup of lemonade on a hot summer day.
Well, it makes me think of Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver.
Well said. She is brilliant. But you know why I really appreciate her so much, Ryan, is that she's real. She is a mom just like me, even though she admittedly is an amazingly accomplished pediatrician in private practice. And she's written a number of fantastic parenting books. She is a wife and mother. And guess what? I can identify with her.
Yeah. And I think that we've seen this authenticity, and it's come through these microphones. As she talked about her heart for caring for children that come through her practice by equipping their parents with the tools they need for success.
Now, last time we spoke extensively about ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and how it seems to be diagnosed now more than ever.
Well, speaking as someone who has had this his whole life, I appreciated everything she had to share. For moms and dads listening, if you think your child might have ADHD or just ADD, really, you ought to listen to the first half of our discussion, which you'll find at drjamesdobson.org.
And during that time together, Dr. Meeker defined ADHD for us and talked about some of the other issues that it's often confused with, which is why it's so important to make sure your child is accurately diagnosed. And you will definitely want to talk to your own family doctor about what you hear on both these broadcasts.
And Dr. Meeker also told us of some of the ways parents can help kids with ADHD in their own home, including limiting household chaos and video games, both of which can exacerbate the symptoms of ADHD.
Some pretty practical advice. But for now, let's rejoin our conversation as, Ryan, you asked Dr. Meeker some questions based on your own experience with ADHD. So let's go to that now on this Family Talk broadcast.
Dr. Meeker, let me ask you a technical question. I grew up ADHD. I'm an adult with ADHD. I've been tested. It's 100%.
The real deal.
Absolutely. Yes. I have always wondered this because ADHD does get overprescribed at times.
Yes.
What's the effect of these stimulants on kids that don't have ADHD? I mean, I'm seeing the news reports as I fly around where kids are selling their ADHD medication to other kids so they can study harder. Are we just giving kids stimulants?
You know, it's a serious problem, Ryan, and there are medications out there that are less street friendly, if you will, like Vyvanse over Concerta or Adderall, because they have less addictive potential, and so they have lower street value. Very common for kids in high school and college to sell their medication because if you give the stimulants to any student, it can help them focus more and get their work done faster. And what kid doesn't want to do that? The flip side of that is you can actually, in a child who doesn't have real ADHD, you can change their personality. I have seen kids go from being jolly and fun and outgoing to just sort of getting dull and going to sleep and going away. And we should never, ever give a child a medication that changes their personality. Unless our backs are against the wall and they're experiencing psychosis and we need to get them out of that. So I'm very sensitive about that. And I always start on a very low dose and work up because you're always looking for the lowest dose with the maximum effect. But if the side effect is worse than the benefit, off the medication a child goes. So that's where parents have to be very, very wise and judicious in the use of medications. Parents should always be in charge of the medications in a high schooler. I don't care if the kid's 18. If they're living at home, the kid doesn't manage his medications. Parents do, and you keep it locked away, and you count your pills. Because it's very, very common. You may have a great kid, but if his friends know he's on ADHD, and particularly if you have a really nice girl who can't say no, and a friend says, you know, I just need a couple pills to get through exams, please, 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 she'll say, okay, and she'll give her a couple of her pills.
Yeah. Listen, I had people in college regularly asking me for my medication. Hmm. It was a surprise how many people and the types of people, people that were good students, you mm-hmm. know, getting straight A's, who would say, I just need a little help. I just need a little mm-hmm. help. And it always yeah. made me feel so uncomfortable. I want you to say it again, though. I want you to talk about parents locking up medication, because this is becoming a big problem in our country of parents sharing prescribed medication with kids or just letting their kids have at it whenever they want. Mm-hmm. And it's a scary thing. Oxycontin is a huge cause of heroin addiction in the United States. Yeah. And a lot of times it starts with, you know, a teenage girl who's having a rough time of the month and her mom says, oh, just take a half of one exactly. of these. It'll make you feel better. And that leads to a scary, scary place.
Yeah, it's a very scary phenomenon. And it's one of my great frustrations, too. You know, parents who in many ways, you know, I alluded to the fact that many parents don't want to lose their kids, so they try to stay emotionally tied to their kids and they act more like a friend and a counselor mm-hmm. than a parent. They don't want to say no. They'll say, sure, try this. And that extends into medication use. And it's very important. It's actually illegal. It's illegal for a person to take a medication that didn't have it prescribed for them. You need to have a bottle that has your name on it and that's your pills and only that person can take it. So it's technically mom could go to jail for giving her daughter OxyContin, Darvocet, whatever it is, uh-huh. if anybody finds out. So that's very important. Hmm.
Dr. Meeker, it's not uncommon now to hear a talk show host, especially a conservative one, to imply that there is no such thing as an hyperactive disorder, mm-hmm. that it's just parents not willing to discipline and they look to medication to keep them from doing what they ought to do. The truth of the matter is, if you've ever seen it, if you've ever experienced it, I mean, when I was at the hospital, I remember a 2-year-old girl that was brought in to me, and she was climbing all over my chair on my neck. And it was not the mother's fault. Mm-hmm. It was that she's neurologically wired differently. So when it's real, medication makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I'm going to take that a little bit further. That's an excellent point. Because it doesn't extend just with ADHD, but many conservative and I will say Christian parents mm-hmm. don't want to medicate for illnesses that have to do with the mind. ADHD, depression, bipolar, anxiety, many, many things. And it's an enormous disservice to the child because this is a really painful way to live. And if a parent doesn't believe that hyperactivity is real, I can pick out one of 100 kids in my practice, bring in that parent and stick them in a room with that child for 10 minutes and they'll get it. Mm-hmm. They'll get it that that child is really hyperactive. It's a wiring. It's a neurologic wiring. The brain
is
an organ.
It's frantic, isn't it?
It's frantic. Yeah. It makes you nervous. Yeah. It makes you very nervous. Yeah. I remember I had an 18-month-old standing on my examination table, which was quite high. It was about the level of my waist. And I knew this was a – and I've never diagnosed an 18-month-old
ADHD. I was going to say, that's pretty young.
It's very young.
Yeah.
But I knew. And this mother was the greatest, calmest, most unshakable mother. And this child stood up and jumped off my table and almost hit the window. And I thought, he's going to die right here on my watch. And what's that going to mean to my reputation? Child dies in a pediatrician's office. But he is truly out of control. And if you, as a pediatrician, are able to come up with a child who is truly out of control neurologically, and he has his mind and his body going 100 miles an hour, can you imagine having to live with that? And here we can offer help and give help. How dare we not give that help? But many conservatives and many people of faith will say, no, prayer will do it, or we'll just think differently, or it has to do with the mind, so it must be psychology. No, it's the way God made your child. He gave your child a brain that is wired neurologically in a specific way. Take help. For
yeah.
your child.
Now, the other side of that coin, talking out of both sides of my mouth and yours too, because you already said it, Many children are misdiagnosed, and many kids who do not have a neurological problem are being medicated.
Yes.
It has become an easy answer for a kid who is not being disciplined properly.
You're absolutely right, because the truth is, as Ryan and I were talking about, if you take a child who's out of control and bouncy and he can't read and bad things are happening at home and he doesn't have ADHD and you give him a stimulant, he will sit more calmly in his chair at school because you basically make him go away, as I say, mm-hmm. and you quiet him down. Mm-hmm. So we are over-medicating. That's why it's very important that teachers and parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents not do the diagnosing. Leave it into the hands of your pediatrician and a neuropsychologist and an education specialist, and make sure your child has a very thorough evaluation and a clear diagnosis before you go the medication route.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, I remember 15, 20 years ago when you were reflecting on your childhood having a hyperactive disorder.
Sure.
I remember you telling me that when you were in the second grade that you would sit in your chair at your little desk and say to yourself, if they would only let me stand. I don't believe I can sit here for another second. That's a genuine disorder
we're talking about. I had, and I've seen teachers handle it differently now. I was in a classroom observing when I was in college, and there was a hyperactive little girl in the room, and they changed her desk to a draftsman's easel. Like the guys that make blueprints, and they let her stand. And that little girl stood and did her work, and she would just shake and hop on one foot and did all of her work because her body was able to expend energy that she had while she did her work. I actually had a teacher masking tape me to a chair.
You're kidding.
Nope. I just couldn't. Yeah. I physically couldn't sit in my chair. And I have to tell you, from a person with ADHD, we know what's going on. I know I'm not like the other students. I feel like there's something wrong with me because everybody else sits, and I physically can't do it. I know that I can't. I know I'm going to disappoint my teacher. I know I'm going to get in trouble. I know they're going to tell my parents. I'm going to get up anyway. I just can't do it. And I had a teacher wrap. I sat in my chair and wrapped masking tape around my legs to the chair. And I remember standing, not even realizing it, standing up with a chair stuck to me.
Oh,
my goodness.
Makes me want to cry.
I remember when I was in the fourth grade, Ryan, my problem was not containing my physical activity. It was my mouth. I couldn't stop talking. And I had a teacher embarrass the daylights out of me. She came and she took a piece of paper and she folded it into a triangle and put it around my mouth and attached it with a pen. And I had to sit there all morning with that thing around my mouth because I could not stop talking.
Well, I'm sure you remember, I actually got suspended in junior high for talking too much in class. I now get paid for it.
Yes.
But in junior high, and they just couldn't take it anymore.
We promise not to tie a triangle around your mouth here in the studio.
Yeah, that's right.
Forgive me, Meg, before we leave this whole issue of ADD, you've mentioned getting a neurological diagnosis a couple of times.
Yes.
For the parent listening who's saying, okay, I'm somewhat convinced, that's a little bit of a scary step. Give us a real quick synopsis of what can they expect when they go into that neurologist. What are they going to do to test my child?
Sure. Well, I feel strongly about never parenting out of fear, just walking into your issues and saying, okay, I'm going to find out what's going on and I'm going to deal with it. Neurologists are doctors who diagnose any kind of disorders of the brain, tumors, seizures, things like that. With ADHD, I think that a person should go with a neuropsychologist. So not necessarily a neurologist, but someone who can do extensive psychological testing. Mm. And they can test for depression or any type of brain issues where it could be a learning issue, it could be a developmental issue. So they can look at how the brain functions, basically.
So their focus is on behavior.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a neuropsychologist. And I highly recommend that a parent take their son or daughter there. That's what I do with my patients, in addition to their pediatrician. The other thing that I like to see kids go through is a battery of educational testing. Go to a learning center that does dyslexia testing, or testing for any kind of learning issues. So there's the learning issue part. There is the neuropsychology issue, the behavioral part, and then there's the physical part where I come in, the MD part. And I believe that every child with ADHD should go through evaluation by all three of those specialists.
And as a parent, you have a right to be present at every one of those.
Absolutely. Yeah. Parents have full right to look at a medical chart and everything in any child under 18. Most parents don't know that. But the chart is yours. So you can ask for any results, any exams, anything asked, anything said by any physician, psychologist, anybody.
Dr. Meeker, I don't want to end the program without doing one thing, because I know that there are some adults with ADD out there, ADHD. There are some parents who have kids with ADHD out there, and they're feeling bad about themselves or their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of benefits to the kids that have ADHD. I remember talking with my counselor, and he said ADHD kids typically have a much higher IQ. Mm-hmm. They are very, very smart. They may not do well in school because of a difficulty concentrating or sitting still. Very high IQs, highly creative. What are other things like that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I often tell parents with children with ADHD, first of all, I tell the children there's nothing wrong with your brain. We're not giving you medication because you're stupid or because you're broken or anything. It's just overactive, and we need to help get it to work in one direction. Mm-hmm. So the goal of a good parent is to help that child channel his intellectual energies into the right area. Some of the greatest writers and creators and musicians and actors, presidents have ADHD because it's not a matter of an intellect, it's a matter of the mind trying to handle too much at once. The mind is overstimulated all the time, but it can't be effective if it's overstimulated all the time. It's like being in the kitchen and trying to cook 10 dishes all at once. Mm. Well, you're going to burn a few, so let's try to help you cook just three at once and learn to do those really, really well. So that's our job, is to help to channel that energy, if you will, that intellectual energy.
I saw a study of X Games athletes, snowboarders, freestyle motocross riders, things like that. And they put heart rate monitors on all of them, and they test them. Most people, when they get into a highly, highly stressful situation, their heart rate exceeds. It goes very, very fast. Their heart beats really, really fast. The kids with ADHD, when they get into a highly, highly stressful situation, their heart rate slows down. It makes them calm, which is why they excel at sports like that, because if you're flying 40 feet in the air and you're spinning around, that can be very disorienting unless you can calm yourself down in the middle of it.
Either way, you kill yourself.
Or you come close to it.
There is another factor here that I think ought to be mentioned, and that's that the AD of ADHD stands for attention deficit disorder. And I think that's misnamed, because a kid with this disorder, if he's really interested, can sit and stare and look at a television screen or a video game
or a book
and not hear anything else that goes on. So it's not that he can't pay attention. It's that you had better give him the right kind of stimulation.
I had a patient exactly like that, and it frustrated me, because this is a little boy who was 11 years old, and every time his mother brought him in the office, he had a book. His head was buried in a book. And I don't mean just a 100-page book, but a 300-page book. He was a voracious reader. And he read and read and read. Mm-hmm. And his mother would sit there begging me for medication for him. And I said, but he's reading fine. Yeah, but he won't make his bed, and he won't do this, and he won't do this. All he wants to do is read.
You're looking at one over there.
You know, it's that way with me. I read four or five books at once.
Yeah.
I've got
200
books
on
my iPad.
Four or five at once, The rest of us just one at a time.
Shirley used to take Ryan to the library and limit him to 10 books.
Well, and I could only read one book a day. Mm-hmm. Now, if I had read a book the previous day, I could reread that one and my one for today, but I couldn't continue to read because she said we'd go to the library every single day.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I just remembered this. I'm trying to think of the teacher. I had a math teacher in junior high, and I was reading before class started, and everything else shut off.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, class starts, and she says, Ryan, could you put your book down? And I have no idea anybody's talking to me. And I'm reading along, and she says, Ryan, please put your book down. Ryan, you're going to have to stay after class if you don't put your book down. The whole class is staring at me. I don't know anything's going on.
So there wasn't anything wrong with your ability to pay attention.
And she came over and picked the book up out of my hands, and I looked up, and I said, why are you taking my book?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody starts laughing, and I don't feel bad about this. This is not something where I feel, inferior for it. I literally didn't hear anything, and I give her credit because she saw in the look on my face I wasn't being defiant. Mm-hmm. I wasn't being rude. I literally didn't hear her. And she just closed it and put it down and said, class started. And I said, I'm sorry, okay.
Wow.
Moved on.
This is a fascinating subject,
so
I know, for many parents. And we ran right through the end of the program last time when we had to go into a crash mode to get off the air. And we just kept on talking because we wanted to hear what you had to say. And so what we've been saying today was recorded last time, but that's the way it is. Dr. Meeker, there are so many things we want to talk to you about. I ask you to give me a list of topics that you would like to discuss here. And we're going to work our way through these over the months to come. But it's taming your temper tantrums. It is solving sleep issues with babies. You call it sleep training. It's
Can we do that one next, please?
Before tonight.
It's breastfeeding, the pros and cons of it. And yes, there are some cons. And postpartum depression and how to recognize it and what to do about it. I mean, you gave me 20.
And you asked for five.
I did.
You said, would you send me five ideas? And I just 20. I said, well, we can't do just five. But and these are all so close to my heart.
Here's a great one. Are you parenting out of fear or faith?
Yeah.
You kind of alluded to that a minute ago. And how to be a happier mom. We've already talked about that last time. Five rules for every divorced parent and every divorced Christian parent. There's so many things that I look forward to talking to you about on future occasions. Thank you for flying all the way to Colorado Springs. You had to kind of set aside your practice for a couple of days in order to be here. And thank you for doing that.
Oh, well, thank you. And I look forward to doing more shows.
Well, that meant a sacrifice by your husband, Dr. Walt Meeker. You give him my regards.
I sure will.
And he has maple trees in your backyard.
He does.
You do. And he sent me some maple syrup.
He did.
Oh,
yeah.
You tell him I never want you to show up here without it.
Okay. That's right.
Because I love it.
All right. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay, mate.
Well, I join our listeners in looking forward to your return, Dr. Meeker. In the meantime, our listeners can find out more about our guest, Dr. Meg Meeker, and her work helping children and parents at drjamesdobson.org.
And of course, we highly encourage you to check out some of her very helpful books on parenting, including Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and one of my personal favorites, The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers.
Mm-hmm. Laura loves that book, too. And if you think you know someone that would like to listen to this program, share it with them. You can find a link on Facebook, or you can always order a CD from us. We'd love to send it to you with our compliments. It does cost us money. If you can provide that, we'd appreciate it. If not, again, totally with our compliments.
That's
you
right.
can find that at drjamesdobson.org. Or when you call us, our number is 877-732-6825.
And I just want to mention here in the close that if you think your own child may have ADHD or another medical issue, we realize that can be incredibly scary and a stressful feeling.
Mm.
If you are struggling right now and want to talk with someone about what you're going through, give us a call, 877-732-6825. We would love to stand alongside of you in prayer for your child.
Of course. And if that's you, the starting place for you is at your family's physician. Make sure to see him or her soon and talk about what your child is experiencing.
And before we go today, we just want to thank all of you who have given recently to Family Talk. We're committed to developing broadcasts and online resources like this to help you and your family, but we can't do it alone.
That's right. We really do rely on the people who support us on a regular basis. And if you'd like to do that, come alongside our work. You can donate at drjamesdobson.org via our Facebook page or our Family Talk app. Or one last time, our phone number is 877-732-6825.
And thank you in advance for considering that donation. Thanks also for spending this part of your day with us. Mm-hmm. We do invite you back next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.